Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. It's been very, very good to be in a gospel again. And this time we've been in the Gospel of Mark. And one is aware that this is a short gospel, 16 chapters, as opposed to 28 in Matthew and 24 in Luke and 21 in John. But it's certainly not short of excellent content. And there are many very, very good stories. And there's even a few things that, though it's the shortest gospel, there's a few things that you don't find in other gospels. But chapter 11 begins with a story that, in fact, is mentioned in several of the gospels, and to some degree in all of the gospels, but in some detail in what we call the synoptics, that's Matthew, Mark and Luke. What's happening is that Jesus is entering Jerusalem. Now, for Jesus, this is very, very significant, because he knows that he's actually going to die at the end of the week. Now, the disciples, they don't seem to really take that on board at all. He has warned them. But there he is entering Jerusalem. And what we read is that this entry is very well prepared, because there's an animal, a colt, there available. And that's what Jesus is going to ride on. And people are throwing their cloaks over it. And they're just putting branches in the pathway where Jesus is coming. And there's this incredible welcome. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus enters Jerusalem and he goes to the temple courts. It's getting late, but Jesus is definitely on a mission at this juncture of the whole gospel story. Jesus is coming. People recognize him. They honor him. They praise him. And there's a great, great stir. Well, he's going to go into the temple. But on his way to the temple, we read that he notices there's a fig tree in leaf. He went out to see if it had any fruit, but he found nothing but leaves. Now, in fact, it wasn't the season for figs. And he just curses the fig tree. And his disciples are a bit sort of perplexed as to quite what's going on. What Jesus knows is that times and seasons are in the Father's hand. And in fact, God will bring his purposes about whatever season is going on. Well, they come into the temple now itself. And essentially, Jesus meets a scene of people buying and selling. And really, this makes Jesus very, very angry. And he's angry because he knows that that temple was actually dedicated. It was established. It was built for the glory of God. In fact, he says, look, it's a house of prayer for all the nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. And Jesus, in fact, casts the people out. He turns over the tables and the benches. And there's a tremendous display of righteous anger at the misuse of the house of God. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, well, they've been wanting to kill Jesus for some time. And they're very embarrassed and upset by the display of anger that Jesus is showing. Jesus comes past this fig tree again, and they say, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And that's where Jesus takes the opportunity to say, well, look, have faith in God. He says, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourselves into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you in your sins. Well, What Jesus is declaring here is pretty amazing. It seems to be almost like giving believers a blank check, though I don't think, in fact, that's what's happening. But it's certainly a strong encouragement for prayers of faith. In season, out of season, you can trust God. The chapter ends with a great discussion of Jesus' authority. And Jesus doesn't argue about his authority. He doesn't get upset about the Pharisees trying to undermine him. He simply says, you just watch and you'll see that I am in authority. I don't have to argue a case. I don't have to defend myself. I am in authority. We must pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to talk a little bit more about Mark chapter 11.
Come share in the feast. Where the least become greatest, the great become least. Open your heart to the Holy One. Come lift high His name with your voice. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Oh, come now to Calvary. How He dies, fulfilling the promise of God the Most High. Place on Him the sin you need no longer bear, and cry out to heaven in praise. Jesus is Lord, He is God's risen Son, He is Lord, and His victory is won. He is Lord.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Mark chapter 11. So, quite a lot in this, Richard. Let's start with this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I mean, presumably there's a lot of symbolism tied up with this and why Jesus was doing it in this way.
Yes, indeed. Well, of course, he's aware of the great clamorings to make him king, and the obvious place to make someone a king will be the capital. But Jesus, we know, is going to establish kingship not by a great mighty display, but by humility. So that's why riding on the colt, the donkey, is important, because it's a very clear symbol of humility as opposed to a great stallion. And also the fact that he's heading for his death and going to the cross.
But clearly he was welcomed. Clearly there were people that the crowd thought he was great and treated him like the sort of, you know, the hero, didn't they, really?
Well, very much so. But I think it's because they always at the back of their mind, however much he taught them otherwise, that he would be a political figure. Mm. He'd overthrow the Romans. He'd take away their taxes. They were just thinking about what's in it for us, and we think Jesus is the man.
Yeah.
They didn't appreciate what was really involved.
Yeah. Then he clears the temple. I mean, an act guaranteed to upset the Pharisees, really.
Yes, indeed.
Does he deliberately set out to upset the Pharisees, do you think?
No, I don't think he goes out of his way to upset them. But I think he's going to correct them big time about their use of the temple. And he knew why it was there. And they actually knew why it was there, but they just got very slack in allowing all sorts of business enterprise to replace the whole idea of worship and prayer and seeking God.
Then we have this issue of the fig tree and cursing the fig tree. It is somehow quite difficult to understand, you know, why he did this. There's a sense, there is a sense of symbolism about it, and he's symbolising things with it. But it can also seem that he just kind of acted on a whim, almost.
Well, yes, I can see why that could be thought. But I think it's just the sense in which Jesus knew that times and seasons are in God's hands, and that what he planned to do would be in the timing of God. And so, yes, okay, figs don't actually come into fruition at that time, but he's overriding what normally happens. Mm. This is the time to lay down his life, to sacrifice himself. So however much you get upset about the fig tree, it's nothing compared to what he's going to do in his sacrifice. Mm.
And finally then, this issue around the authority of Jesus. How does the authority of Jesus compare or perhaps differ to the authority of the time, which was the Pharisees?
I think it's very simply that Jesus was authority. He is authority. The authority of Jesus is displayed in his whole demeanour. So he's not in authority because he shouts the loudest or necessarily speaks the most eloquent, though of course Jesus did. But that isn't where authority lies. It's simply in who he is. And the Pharisees hated that, because however much they bumped up themselves, they just didn't have it, not like Jesus.
Okay, Richard, there we must leave it. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.